Our scripture is from the book of Revelation. I'll be reading chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. A little background for you on the book of Revelation, also known as the Revelation of John. It was written during a time when the church was experiencing persecution by the Roman government. Its rich imagery of signs, symbols, and numbers, along with strange creatures and events, was designed by the writer to hide truths and teaching of early Christian faith from those who would use it against the church. Today's reading from this vision takes place at the throne of God in the heavenly realm. Then I saw a lamb, looking as it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So this morning we continue what is our third installment in this sermon series on why a cross. And if you've been around for the past few weeks, you've heard Pastor Chris and I preach on the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross and how that helps us in our walk with Christ today. A few of the things that just is a brief recap that we've talked about. We talked about how the cross speaks of the nature of God as being loving and forgiving God. We've talked about how the cross is a sign of God's willingness to suffer with all people in order to bring us back, or sometimes we use the word redeem, but to bring us back or reconcile us to God. God draws us with cords of love through the sacrifice of the cross. We've also said, from Jesus' perspective, that what happened on the cross was his sacrifice, a sacrifice of love, of courage, of obedience, of faithfulness to God. And that on the cross, Jesus frees us. Jesus saves us, as we say, by, again, drawing us in with those cords of love into a life filled with the love and grace of God. Now, we've also said that the message of the cross sounds kind of foolish to the world. Following, worshiping a crucified God doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it? And so today what I want to preach about is how the wisdom or the way of the cross is ultimately something that trumps the foolishness that passes for wisdom in the world today, that the cross is actually a sign of victory. So let's start by having a little bit of fun. I wonder how many of you follow superhero stories? How many of you like superhero stories? Anybody enjoy those? Yeah, okay, I see some hands going up. Very cool. You know, I have always enjoyed them, in part because I have kids and they helped me learn to enjoy them. But even as a kid, I did. You know, I was enthralled with Superman. My friends and I, you know, we would put on our capes, you know, makeshift capes and our gloves And how'd the intro to Superman go? Pretend that we were faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to jump tall buildings in a single bound. We had a lot of fun, you know. And then it came other superheroes, Spider-Man, Batman, Robin, Catwoman, Wonder Woman, and on it goes, right, to today when there is a multitude of wonderful, fun superhero movies out there. My son Jay and I usually catch those movies when they come into the theaters. A couple weeks ago, we went to see the latest Marvel comic movie, The Black Panther. Awesome movie. You've got to go see it. I mean, even if you're not too sure about superhero movies, this is a good one. There's the Black Panther right there. Very, very cool message. You know, not too scary either. But, you know, I think about that. You know, the myth of the superhero, which it's something that's been with us for really a long time. In cultures, we've used those superheroes as a way, you know, to kind of come alongside and maybe vicariously, you know, listen to that story or that myth and feel good about our own struggle to overcome, our own struggle to defeat the things that go against us in our lives. Superheroes perform, a healthy outlet for that. But I bring this up, okay, because I think sometimes Jesus gets cast as a superhero by well-meaning folks. Someone who immediately comes to our rescue, defeats evil using his superhuman abilities, and, you know, that's where his power lies, in this Superman, this superhuman power. There's one right there. There's a slide, and I think the caption there is Jesus is saying to the other superheroes, this is how I save the world, you know. Now, they're, as you can see, they're going to be scratching their head through this sermon, because Jesus was not a superhero. Robert Capron talks about this in a book of his, and has some fun with this idea of how we've made Jesus over into the all-American superhero. Taking off on that Superman description that I shared just a moment ago, he says, if that isn't the popular way to think about Jesus, I'll eat my hat. He says, Jesus, gentle, meek, and mild, but with secrets souped up more than human insides, bumbles around for 33 years, nearly gets himself done in by the kryptonite cross, but at the last minute, struggles into the phone booth of the empty tomb, changes into his Easter suit, and with a single bound leaps back up to planet heaven. It's got it all, including, just so you shouldn't miss the lesson, kiddies, he never touches Lois Lane. Let's have a little fun there with that, you know, right? But you can see maybe how we think of Jesus as a superhero. I mean, our beliefs about him are very strong. Made no mistakes, was sinless, fearless. Nothing could weaken him, right? Spoke powerful words, scared demons away, brought the dead to life, was never outsmarted or in danger, controlled the elements, walked on water, and he didn't need any special devices, did he? He didn't even need to wear a mask. That sounds to me like a superhero. But you know what, friends? This is not what made Jesus our Lord and Savior, to think of him that way. Now, when we make Jesus into this superhero, okay, someone who is self-sufficient, single-handedly, superhumanly defeating the enemies of God, I think we miss the gospel. I think we miss the important good news of the gospel, which is that Jesus became human. Jesus was human. Not superhuman, but he was fully human. And we miss the wisdom that is found in his humbling himself, his suffering, his dying, his serving. We miss his way with us. We miss his way for us. I think if you look close at Jesus' life, you find someone who actually doesn't make a very good superhero. For one, he's not all self-sufficient. Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed a lot to his Abba, as he called God. Prayed for strength. You know, he was afraid in the Garden of Gethsemane and reached out to God. On the cross, he felt abandoned and cried out in prayer to God. The other thing about Jesus is he didn't take up any weapon or power, forceful power, you know, to overcome his enemies, even though many wanted him to. He never takes up force against them. And to top it off, he gets himself killed, right? And instead of wearing a cape, he wears a crown of thorns. Jesus was a lousy superhero. But I say thank God for that. Because you know what? It's not Christ's superhuman strength that saves us. It's weakness. His willingness to be weak. His willingness to suffer. That is what makes Jesus powerful in my book. That's what makes as well the cross a sign of victory. What enables him to transform people's lives, even continue to transform people's lives, our lives today, in the power of the Christ Spirit with us. He was as human as could be. You see, I think God in God's wisdom knows just what we need. And while what we may want is someone to come rescue us from our mess, someone we can call out to who will swoop in and relieve our problems immediately, that's not what God did in Jesus. I don't think that's what God does today. Jesus is a different kind of hero, if you want to call him that. A hero who frees by suffering with and for those he loves. Now think about this with me for a minute. What do we say about Jesus? We say Jesus is, he was full of God and fully human, right? And what we mean by that is that he had this completeness in him, this fullness of him. The Bible says that the fullness of God dwelled in him. He was filled with God's Spirit. But here's the thing about that. That fullness, it's always expressed in his humanness. It never canceled out his humanness. And because of that, the good news of that is that Jesus could model for us, not just fake it. You know, there were those in the early church that said Jesus was just faking being human. Those were the Gnostics, which means to seem. He only seemed to be human. No. He fully embodied for us what it meant to be human, what it means to live in these bodies of ours, you know, and to live in this world of ours that has its pain and has its suffering, and at the same time know the strength and the power of God, the Spirit of God, the fullness of God every day, even in the midst of that, that we can overcome, we could persevere. You see, the gift that Jesus gave us, I think, in the cross is this truth that nothing can separate us from the power and love of God. God's with us in our pain and in our suffering, not removing it necessarily, but suffering with us and in it. Through those trials, again, drawing us closer with bands of love. I think that's how Jesus' death on the cross becomes a victory. It turns this instrument of destruction, this instrument or sign of the ultimate corruption of humanity, a torture device that was designed to separate us from God, separate us from hope and dignity, into an even greater sign of the power of God's presence and love that helps us, is with us when life is hard and unfair. You know, when Jesus is on the cross and he says, into your hands, God, I commend my spirit, or when he says it's completed, you know, to me what he's declaring is there is a love that never lets us go. In the midst of the most horrific things of life, there's a love that never lets us go. Now, Bible has said, and Paul, you know, talks about how all of this seems foolish. All this is foolish talk. I read one translation, it just sounds like insanity. You know, this idea of power in the cross. In his day, you know, the Greeks had their gods and they were powerful and they never died. It doesn't make sense to worship a God who's crucified. It doesn't make sense today either. We want to believe in a God who has the power to make things right in our lives, in our world, but Jesus doesn't do that. Here's the thing. When it comes to you and I, when it comes to humanity, I believe God's strength is evident in vulnerability. God's power is seen in suffering love. God doesn't want to do something for us, put it that way, as much as God wants to do something with us. Okay? God doesn't want to do something for us in this whole event. God wants to do something with us, to have us join God, you know, in our very human lives, weaknesses and strengths and all of it, to help and work with God in transforming this world in the way of the love of Jesus Christ. You heard the old saying, right? Without God, we can't. But without us, God won't. In Jesus, on the cross, God is saying, okay, this is what happens. When you choose love over hate, when you choose to forgive over being vengeful, when you choose to be peaceful instead of going to war, when you choose people over rules, but what? It doesn't mean you give up. You might get crucified, but don't give up. You know, I think that's why Jesus says, take up your cross, follow me, as foolish as it seems. That's the way God's peace and shalom comes into our lives and world, not your conventional wisdom. I think to get it, my friends, you and I have to be willing to accept that wisdom. To die is to live, to give is to keep, to surrender is to win. And the cross crowns Jesus as the Lord, as the King of that way of life. The cross says that this way of life is where God is. I think that's why the symbol of the lamb, getting around to the scripture passage today, the symbol of the lamb is so often used as a sign of Jesus. You think of the creature of a lamb, very peaceable little creature, right? And as such was often used in sacrifices in the ancient temple, along with many other animals. Those sacrifices were done as a way to appeal to God for forgiveness, a way to thank God for blessings. The New Testament writers make that connection, though, with Jesus. His cousin John pointed to him once and said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb, Jesus, becomes this sign for how God overcomes all that tries to separate us from each other and God. Not with force, not with domination, not with destruction, but humbly, courageously holding to love's way. Humbly, courageously, always holding to love's way. That is the way of the Lamb. The reading from Revelation, I think, offers a great image of this. The Lamb that was slain now reigns. It's lifted up and seated on the throne of God. Craig, in the introduction to the scripture lesson, mentioned that these were tough times to be Christians. You know, the Emperor Domitian had declared himself Lord and God, and you were to worship him. You were to worship and bow down to his image. And so John, in his wisdom, receives this wonderful imagery from the Spirit of God. Now, strange, strange. If you've ever read Revelation, you know what I'm talking about. Strange imagery. Signs, creatures, numbers. It's kind of baffling, but when you realize that it's all coded language to tell the story of how God wins, love wins, Christ wins, persevere, that's the message of the story of Revelation. I think there's a lot of great metaphors in that book. But today we're pulling out this one of the Lamb of God, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, who's honored here for his perseverance to the way of love. Let's hear it again. The angels and saints, all creatures of heaven, sing aloud, worthy is the Lamb that is slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing. You know what John's message is there? It is this to you and me, my friends. It is that just as Christ was vindicated, so will we be vindicated. Just as he won, so will we. That particular image on the bulletin cover is found all over old Europe. Cathedrals, churches, I think even in pubs you see this signs on occasion. I'm not sure why, but you do. But it is the image of that lamb now victorious. The halo around the head, right? The cross, the banner there, St. George's cross, all sign and symbol of the victorious one who conquers through the way of love. Let me pull this together and think about this for our life this week. When you and I as church practice the wisdom we're talking about today, the wisdom of the cross, sometimes we might look foolish. We might feel a little foolish too when people are telling us to go in a different way. But here's the thing that I believe. When we resolve to love, there is nothing that can stop us. When we resolve to stay with the way of love, there's nothing in heaven and earth that can stop that. Even when in suffering it appears that we are losing, we are winning. We are winning. And I'll tell you why. Because the only lasting change that has ever happened in heaven and earth is change that occurred because of love. Not for any other reason, but change that occurred out of love that suffers and sacrifices. So what I'm telling you today is you don't have to be a superhero either. Christ doesn't want that from you, but he does want you to be fully human and willing to cooperate with this grace. Be fully human so that the Spirit can fill you as it did him. Work through you, imperfections and all. He wants us to depend on God and love God as he did. Trust God. Walk the path of sacrificing love. Cooperate with grace along the way. This is how we're saved. This is how God saves us. And this is how God saves the world as well. Through this mystery of a love that is already won. Thanks be to God. Amen.